Construction.net.
From the Jethro Q Studios, now featuring CBD-infused seltzer to get happy, legal for 18 and up. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
In Condon, Des Moines Sports Center, 106.3 KXNO. We take you right up until noon. Still to come, bottom of the hour, David Kaplan. We'll head to Chicago, Windy City. Get to Cappy, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cap. Well, let's get to Dane Mazzitani as we talk a little Minnesota sports. It's been a while since we caught up with Dane. He's been at Vikings camp the last couple of days as they watched them go through their OTAs. Dane, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming back on. How are you, Dane Mazzitani?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for finding time for us. We appreciate it. Let's start with the Vikings. You've been able to... Well, first of all, how much access do the Vikings give you? Is it a 15-minute period that you're allowed to watch practice before they shoo you away?
Actually, in these off-season times, you can watch the whole thing.
Oh, good.
You just can't tweet anything until after. That rule kind of feels arbitrary. We're going to tweet it in like an hour, but I guess they want.
Yeah.
While we're on the field, no tweeting. But that's okay. Yeah, it's cool. We're able to watch the entire practice for the whole duration during the off season, and then once they ramp up in the regular season, it's like 10 minutes. Take it 10 minutes. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Does it have a different vibe from a Zimmer-led OTAs? Do you notice a difference?
Yeah, I think so. The biggest thing I've noticed is like, the practice periods are shorter. So it's like an hour and 15 minutes. I think that might be more emblematic of just the league as a whole, kind of mm-hmm. realizing that like we don't need to work these guys 2.5 hours in June. But I do also think like that has a little bit to do with Kevin O'Connell. And, you know, he preached from the beginning, from the moment he was hired, you know, the importance of connectedness and, you know, everyone feeling like, you know, they're pulling on the same rope. And I think, even something as simple as like feeling like your coach is looking out for you and taking care of you in practice is a way that kind of manifests itself. And you're really seeing it. I mean, the vibe is different. I guess it's hard to say how much this culture or whatever, you know, that's such a buzzword, is going to translate on the field. We won't know until obviously week one. But these guys seem to kind of be gelling and, you know, they're doing more team building activities. It doesn't seem like punch the clock, you know, be here and then go home. It seems like these guys genuinely like being around each other. And I saw that cover in the wild. Like, that can make a difference mm-hmm. over the course of the season. So we'll see what happens.
Year number one of Adolfo Mensah, the new GM there, traded back with a division foe with the Lions. He did it again with the Packers. You don't see it happen very often. I'm going to guess early on it led to some consternation with the Vikings fans up there. What was your takeaway in looking back at the first draft for him?
Yeah, I was admittedly, like, I thought it wasn't a need. Receiver wasn't a need because you have Jefferson and Thielen, but Jamison Williams sitting there for you at 15 or whatever, 12, whatever the Vikings pick was, mm-hmm. and not only do you pass on Jamison Williams, you give him to a division right. rival. So, like right away, I was like, ooh, you know, I don't really like that. Like, not you have to deal with Jamison Williams in division for the, you know, however long he's going to play, a decade plus. Then you do the same thing with Christian Watson in Green Bay. But I do think listening to, you know, Kwesi talk about those moves kind of gave me a little bit more perspective, or maybe a little bit more respect in that sense. Like, you know, this guy's building the Vikings, and he's not worried about anyone but the Vikings. So if he felt like this trade was going to give them more ammo in the draft, or, you know, a better opportunity to draft more players that can make an impact this season and beyond, and if it meant maybe helping the Lions in the process or maybe helping the Packers in the process, he doesn't really care about that. I mean, he's focused on building the Vikings. And I thought that was sometimes I think we lose sight of that. Like, you know, well, we don't want to help someone else. But, you know, as long as at the end of the day, now we'll see, will these draft picks pan out? Like, that's another story. But if he felt like he got the best value and he felt like this was the right thing to do to build this team, The draft is a crapshoot anyway, so who are we to fault him?
That's a good point. Yeah. You know, speaking of that, let's kind of localize it a little bit for our audience, even more so. The Vikings do certainly move the needle here, and we carry Vikings games on 106.3 KXNO. Kanae Nwangu from Iowa State certainly had his moments last year, special teams more so, and of course, Smith Marset. What about the former Hawkeye and the former Cyclone as they get set to embark on their second year in the NFL?
Yeah, we'll start with Kanae Nwangu. Like, obviously, the kid's dynamic. You knew that, obviously, watching him at Iowa State, just his ability with the ball in his hands. And he showed that in year one as a kick returner. I would argue already one of the elite kick returners in the league, just his speed and his vision and, you know, his ability to cut back. But I think you look at a guy like that as, like, let's get him the ball more. Let's get him more touches. I'm not saying give him 25 carries a game, but I'm saying, like, you see this guy and what he can do and how dynamic he can be, let's find something, you know, a package here, a package there to get him the ball in space. And I trust that Kevin O'Connell is going to do that. Like, he's an offensive-minded guy, you know, that's a kind of a forward thinker. And I think he, you know, it doesn't take a genius to realize that Kanae Nwangu is special. I think Kevin O'Connell is going to do everything in his power to get him the ball in open space. But, you know, like I said, that doesn't mean he's stealing 10, 15 touches a game from Dalvin or Alexander Mattison or even Ty Chandler, the guy they drafted out of North Carolina. But I think it benefits you as an offense to get that kid the ball. And I think we've seen a little bit of that, you know, through OTAs, through mandatory minicamp. And I think we'll kind of see more of that as training camp progresses. Now, Amir Smith-Marset, like, I think he was a dark horse to be, like, I don't know if we would say the number three, because K.J. Osborne had a heck of a year last mm-hmm. year for the Vikings. But Amir Smith-Marset was someone I looked at as a potential for a breakout this year. A little unfortunate. He suffered a lower leg injury. Well, that kind of sounds like hockey talk. But they wouldn't specify it, but he had a walking boot on his right foot. He missed, like, the final 2 weeks of spring here. They expect him back by the start of training camp. Good news, you know, we saw him yesterday working off the side. He wasn't doing any work, but he did have the boot off. So it looks like that injury is progressing, whatever it is. And I expect him to kind of be full go training camp. Excited to see him, too. We talk about Kanae Nwangu and the speed he has. Everyone knows about Amir Smith-Marset's speed, yeah, too, and his ability with the ball in his hand. So he'll be someone to keep an eye on in training camp, for sure.
Lower body. Good stuff. Hey, last thing on the Vikings. We want to get to, obviously, we want to get to the Twins, et cetera, with you. How important is the coaching change for Kellen Mond, who was, you know, I don't know, fell out of favor with the Zimmer regime, maybe? Important year for Kellen Mond, considering he's got a fresh start, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I think if the Vikings were to just run it back with Mike Zimmer, I think Kellen Mond would have been, you know, a main candidate or, like, the top candidate to be cut this offseason as far as the quarterback room. I think they would have moved forward with Kirk Cousins and Sean Mannion and kind of called it a day on Kellen Mond. For whatever reason, Mike Zimmer wasn't a fan. I think it'll help him that Kevin O'Connell is at the helm now, that a guy maybe a little bit more in favor of playing young guys, giving young guys a chance, not quite in survival mode like Zimmer was toward the end of his regime here. But at the end of the day, I think it's on Kellen Mond. And just watching him in practice, he has arm talent. He definitely does. But kind of he has a slower release. You know, we were watching 2 minutes ago at the end of practice yesterday, and, you know, he threw a pick, just kind of a questionable decision. Don't throw that ball. So these things, like, obviously, like, they're going to play out over the course of training camp, over the course of preseason. I'm not saying a pick at the end of practice on June whatever is going to get him cut from the team. But you have to see, you know, market improvement moving forward from this kid. The only thing is, like, he didn't really have a chance last year. So it's hard to consider this, like, year two, because it really wasn't even year one for him last year. I think it could benefit him just having someone else in his corner that might be a little more in his corner. But I'll be interested to see what he does with that opportunity, because he hasn't been all too impressive so far, to be honest.
Let's get to the first place Minnesota Twins as they get a win last night against the Yankees, and they slayed the dragon, right? It's over. We don't have to talk about the Yankees and the Twins struggles against them anymore, right?
Yeah, I think it's over. I think when they meet in the playoffs, I think the Twins sweep them, you know, 3-0 in the first round.
Well, it was good feelings last night, certainly.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, even we can joke tongue-in-cheek about it, but, like, it's anytime you beat the Yankees and you're the Twins, I think you leave feeling good about yourself. I think it was nice to see you're seeing Byron Buxton kind of figure it out, the dish. I think he was 2-for-3 yesterday with a homer and a run scored. Or another run scored. Jose Miranda seems to be figuring it out with the bat. You know, I think everyone, you know, after game one of that series when the Twins were scratching and clawing and their way into it, and then Tyler Duffy gives up a 3-run jack. I think the bullpen right now is something that's kind of, you know, a talking point, and it just ebbs and flows over the course of a season, right? Like Byron Buxton was the talking point, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Then it was Royce Lewis, and now it's the bullpen. At the end of the day, like, the Twins are in first place. I think it's fun to nitpick and analyze, but, like, I think sometimes fans need to realize, like, this team is playing really good baseball. That they're, I would say, exceeding our expectations. Mm-hmm. It's okay to, you know, to want more, but enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Like, this team is going to be relevant throughout the summer, and I think that's kind of the most important and the most fun thing here.
Without a doubt. Yeah, when you talk to baseball people, they just think it's a matter of time before the White Sox jump past them in the standings. It's remarkable. I mean, the Twins have been there since the outset of the season. Maybe they're last year's Giants. Not say they're going to win a buck nine, but maybe they'll lead wire to wire and then be able to hold off the juggernaut of the Central Division, which seem to be the White Sox.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, like, there were definitely question marks going into the season, right, for the Twins. I think the starting rotation was something that, you know, regardless of signing Carlos Correa this offseason, I think Twins fans left feeling like, man, we really should have upgraded that rotation. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's great, but it's been fine. Like, it's been, you know, their ERA is you know, near the top of the AL, you know, it's firmly in the top 10, you know, for starting rotation, ERA. Rocco doesn't let his guys go deep into the game, so that might be helped with the ERA a little bit. But, like, I think all in all, like, you look at this team, the starters are performing, you know, above what you expected. The bullpen, shaky here and there, but there are reasons for optimism there. You know, Johan Duran is like the best, you know, 100, like an elite closer down the road. That's a guy who I think, you know, is someone to feel good about. And then the offense, like, that was always going to be something that, you know, the Twins kind of hung their hats on. You have guys like Byron Buxton, like I said, Carlos Correa, Luis Arraez leading the league in batting average. You know, there's a lot of things there to suggest that this isn't a fluke for the Twins, that this is sustainable, like you said. So I'll be interested to continue to follow them.
Going to be fun, certainly a big one in front of them and a chance to get into the playoffs and end that 18-game losing streak that they have. Let's jump next to the T-Wolves as we're bouncing around Minnesota sports here with Dane Mizutani from the Pioneer Press. Dane, the T-Wolves getting to the playoffs, a fun series against Memphis, mm-hmm. getting the win in the play-in round. A lot of positives about it and a budding star in Anthony Edwards. He's in a movie coming out with Adam Sandler. He's making a big-time buzz. How is the love affair happening up there in Minnesota? Just how beloved is Anthony Edwards so early in his career?
Oh, they love him. They love him. Everyone loves him. I love him. I think nationally he's loved. The kid is just so genuine. Genuinely himself, doesn't feel like he's putting on an act. But just his personality is infectious. Like, if you watch, there's this clip going around of that. You mentioned he's in the movie Hustle coming out with Adam Sandler and Juancho Hernan Gomez, his old teammate on the Timberwolves. There's a clip that's been circulating on Twitter of Anthony Edwards kind of playing the bad guy in that sequence and talking trash. And, you know, I was talking to my buddies about it. Like, he was spectacular in that clip. Yeah. I haven't watched the movie as a whole yet. But he wasn't – he was just being himself. He wasn't even really acting. Like, that's just who he is. Like, he is – he's a fun kid. And not to mention really, really good at basketball. Definitively, like, a face of a franchise guy. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns is really, really, really talented. I think he kind of gets, you know, not always a fair shake, you know, in this market, I think nationally too. But he's not, like, the alpha superstar that you can already tell Anthony Edwards is. And that's the reason I think, you know, if you're a Timberwolves fan who's been dying for two decades to have a relevant team since Kevin Garnett left, Anthony Edwards is the reason to feel good about that and the reason to feel like, you know, this year was a step in the right direction. It wasn't just a blip on the radar like the Jimmy Butler year when they went to the playoffs and lost in five games to Houston. Like, no, this feels like the start of something really special, and Anthony Edwards is the big reason why.
Yeah, Kat, find me a better big man for shooting from a distance yeah. in the league. Hard to find. Last thing, you know, I bought into this Wild team, Dane. I loved, as we talked before, I loved what they did at the deadline. I get that their kryptonite is the St. Louis Blues. Even if they would have got by them, the Avs would have awaited. You saw them a bunch this year, and my good God, they're playing extremely well. But the Wild, are they built to sustain what they did and springboard forward? They've got one of the league's true superstars in Kaprizov. Was this a blip, or is this a team that looks like they're going to be in contention for a while?
Yeah, I could see why people are hesitant and think maybe this was just a flash in the pan, because the Wild, they're going to be up against it with the salary cap yep. and the Zach Parise's Ryan Suter buyouts for the next 3 years. But I don't think it's a blip. I think this is sustainable. I think you're going to have to get creative if you're Bill Guerin, as a way to, you know, kind of stymie those cap hits that you're, you know, that dead cap that you're taking on, basically to make Parise and Suter go away. But you mentioned it. Like, Kirill Kaprizov is a superstar. He's a top 10 player. I think next year he'll be a top 5 player. If you have that, like, I'm not going to say that's all you need, because it's a team game, maybe the biggest team game in all of sports. But a guy like that can lift you and can elevate your floor. I think they're definitively a playoff team. I think a couple shrewd moves here and there, and they can be a cup contender again next year. Like, it's so hard to win the Stanley Cup, and it's so cliche, but I think getting to the playoffs is such a big, important thing. And I don't see the Wild going anywhere from that standpoint for the foreseeable future. You have Kirill Kaprizov. You're probably going to lose Kevin Fiala this offseason. Mm-hmm. I just keep doing the math. I have no idea how the Wild are going to figure that out. I don't know. It doesn't make sense how they could keep him without trading up a bunch of guys away. But you have Kirill Kaprizov. You have his best bud, Max Zuccarello, setting them up. Matt Boldy took a huge step yep. last year. You know, your blue line is still really, really deep, and Bill Guerin basically went to bat for Matt Dumba this earlier this offseason, said, I'm not trading him. So the rumors don't need to get, you know, too crazy this offseason, because I'm not trading him. You have a depth there, and you got Cam Talbot. Sounds like Bill Guerin wants to bring back Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know. They're not going to be the Stanley Cup favorites by any means next year. But with a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, I don't think this team's going to fall by the wayside by any means.
He's a legitimate superstar, no doubt. Dane Mazzitani, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Dane, thanks for doing this with us. We appreciate it.
Of course, anytime, guys.
Yep, good to hear from you. Dane Mazzitani, St. Paul Pioneer Press, as we catch up on the four major league teams in the Twin Cities. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Gophers, didn't get into them.
You like Phil Fleck's team this year?
I'm intrigued. Think they're going to win.
I'm intrigued by Soraka coming back as offensive coordinator, just because of what they were a couple years previous before he left for Penn State, and how dynamic Tanner Morgan was that season. Now, he doesn't have the same two receivers he had out there. Yeah. I mean, there's no Bateman on that roster currently, and there's no Johnson, but
their secondary is not quite what it was over the last few years either.
They're going to run the ball. That offensive line needs absolutely to be rebuilt, though, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they had, of course, the behemoth South Dakota.
What's nice, fall yes. at the Alpha.
380 pounds.
6 foot nine.
Jeez. Just an absolute
but
monster.
They're probably, I mean, when you took a look at the Gophers, you can, you know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range, yeah, going forward most every year, right?
I saw 6.5 out there at one of the
That's
shops.
That's one of them?
I like the over on that. At 6.5, I definitely would be on the over with the Gophers. I don't see them being 6-6 and worse this year, but maybe their ceiling is 9-3. I mean, if everything breaks right, 9-3 might be the high water mark too.
We'll take a time out. Head to Chicago next. It's 11:25. David Kaplan joins us. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Wolf Construction and Wolf Roofing are currently hiring.
What makes Wolf Construction a better place to work is that when we think about developing the whole person is important, whether that person is a new carpenter laborer on a job site or that person's a project accountant that works in the office, it doesn't matter who. It becomes more than just a job or a company you show up to. It becomes part of the Wolf family.
Competitive pay, excellent benefits, and a $1,000 sign-on bonus. Apply today at Wolf Construction in your baseball life.
The Grumpy Goat Tavern provides a rustic, comfortable atmosphere with reclaimed barnwood, sleek modern finishes, and a one-of-a-kind environment that you have to see to believe. Featuring a fresh menu, friendly neighborhood service, 50 tap beers, and sports. The Grumpy Goat Tavern is the place to be for any occasion. Catch all of the games all summer long at the Grumpy Goat Tavern with two locations in West Des Moines and one on First Street in Ankeny. Grumpy Goat is more than just a restaurant. It's local, it's for you, it's your tavern.
Victory Mounds is your ace when it comes to premium baseball and softball products and services. Utilizing our vast game and industry expertise, we sell portable pitching mounds, field equipment, and field products that we trust, use, and have used when coaching or playing. But that's not all. Victory Mounds Field Consulting Services can help you improve the quality and playability of your field. Craig Allison has years of experience in the mound business and is Victory Mounds' national sales executive, while Mike Donahoe is in charge of field equipment and products. Visit VictoryMounds.com to see what Victory Mounds can do for you.
When KnoxvilleRaceway.com.
Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Cappy had a big time guest on Unfiltered yesterday. Freddie Freeman.
Nice.
LA Dodgers joined the Cap Man. The Cap Man joins us. Cap, Trent, Kent, thanks for coming on. How are you? How'd the Freddie Freeman thing come about? Good get.
Yeah, so I have a good friend who owns my favorite restaurant in Chicago. It's called Chicago Cut, and he's really good friends with Freddie. So a few well-placed calls later, got a message back from the Dodgers. Yeah, Freddie said he'd be glad to sit down with you on your show. I'm like, okay, let's go. So he was really good.
Consider it done. So, Cap, arbitration, the Cubs and Wilson Contreras, apparently they settled in the middle. What, if anything, does that mean, Cap, as far as going forward, no bad blood, they met in the middle? Does this mean anything? Does this give Cub fans any reason for hope that Contreras will be there long term once they, you know, come together on a contract, if indeed that opportunity arises?
I mean, I don't think there's bad blood. I think Wilson's more than a little disappointed that there hasn't even been any discussions. I mean, nothing in the last two to three years. I think they made him an offer back in 18, I believe, was the last offer, and it was, you know, well below market value, well below. So, you know, how you don't sit down and have a conversation with this guy? Unless there is an agenda, you know, and I've heard this from some people go, well, they like throwing the Yan Gomes better. Okay, then play Wilson at DH. Wilson's the best catcher in terms of throwing runners out. Okay, if there's some ridiculously dumb narrative that people don't want to, you know, for whatever reason, extend him, I don't see it. He's the, OPS-wise, the best catcher in baseball. He's going to probably start his third All-Star game this year. He's 30 years old. You're telling me you can't find a role for him on your ball club that's 10 games under 500? I'll tell you, I think you're nuts.
What player outside of Contreras has the most trade deadline value when we look forward to August 2nd?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Stroman.
Maybe Stroman, but you're asking someone to take on $50 million. Uh-huh. And if they take all 50, then and he has an opt-out, I believe, after year two. So mm-hmm. There's not even a guarantee you're going to have him for more than the rest of this year and next year. So I would say the best, if he's healthy, probably Kyle Hendricks.
Mm. Interesting.
That would probably be the guy that has the most value after Wilson Contreras. Now, I'm not saying I would trade Kyle Hendricks, but people always are willing to overpay for pitching. Mm-hmm. So that would probably be my answer to you. Marcus Stroman would be another one.
Hmm. Cap, they won't do the Cubs a favor and take Jason Hayward via trade. It seems to be starting to be more and more buzz
I mean, the organization has to hear it, right? Why are they playing this guy? You know, he was great. We'll never forget 2016, dot, dot, dot. Cap, it seems like it's inevitable, a parting between Jason Hayward and the organization. Are you surprised it hasn't happened as of yet?
A little bit, yes, and a little bit more that I've been thinking about it. No, because there's nobody that's pushing to get off the injured list and get a spot on the 40-man roster. Now, you've got some guys that are banged up. David Bodie's, you know, I believe, down with you guys in Iowa.
Yeah, and he left the other day because I think vertigo or something got him.
So that delays him, but at some point they're going to have to activate David Bodie, and they've got Wade Miley and Drew Smiley. These guys are all on the injured list, and there's other guys that they're going to have to, at some point, put back on the active roster. What are you going to do with Jason Hayward then? I mean, I keep telling you guys, I don't understand. It's a sunk cost.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing from, like, I was arguing with Gordon Wittenmeyer, my dear friend from NBC Sports Chicago. He's like, dude, you know how much money they own? I don't care. I've used that analogy with you guys. It's a sunk cost. Just admit, we're not going to get what we wanted out of this deal. I still have to pay you. But if Kenny, if you did an awful job, but they had a contract, then I'd be like, we got to keep using this Miller guy. I know we've got a contract, but you know we can't get him to do any. He shows up, but he basically doesn't do any work. So unless you know there's some egregious thing he's doing that you can get out of the contract, and there's not because he's a great dude. At some point, you just go, okay, here's your money. I want to play younger guy.
Simple as that. Hey, Keegan Thompson.
Stunk the other night.
Not the SNL guy. The guy for the Cubs. He, third-round draft pick, 27 years old. What's best-case scenario? He pitches, he's a starter for the next, say, 3-4 years for the Cubs. Is it, he's a number four starter on a good team? What do you see from Thompson?
He's a 3-4-5 guy.
Yeah.
He's not a top-of-the-rotation guy, but he's really good stuff. Really good. You know, and he's being converted into a starter from a reliever. Yeah, he had a bad outing against Baltimore the other night. I mean, Baltimore's major league hitters now. They're not a good team, but those are major league players
better,
that are on their roster. He was 6-0 coming in. He's had a good year. I'm more excited about Caleb Killian and what he could be. But I also like Keegan Thompson. I mean, there's no reason he can't be 1/5 of your rotation. So if you have Killian, and you have him, and you have Justin Steele, and you have Stroman, and you have Hendricks next year, you're telling me that can't be a reasonably solid rotation, and then go out and add somebody in free agency of consequence, whether that's Trey Turner to play shortstop, or Aaron Judge to play left field, or Carlos Correa to play short or third. I mean, come on. You got a printing press of money. It's Wrigley Field. There's no reason they should get outbid on anybody. That doesn't mean everyone's going to take your money, but you should be right there. Who's available, we'll take them. And you make the highest offer, and if they want to go somewhere else, that's fine, but you shouldn't get outbid on anybody.
Yeah, my biggest take, and you're right. I mean, Keegan Thompson has been really good. He wasn't good on Tuesday night. Cap, there was nobody in Camden Yards. That was embarrassing. I thought baseball used to be a thing in Baltimore. Maybe they just fed up and waiting. You know what, Cap? I want to go back to last weekend because we know the Cubs aren't going anywhere this year. But that 5-game set against St. Louis was fun, wasn't it? I know you had some fun when it might have been Thursday night, the first one. Look, the two losses at the end, both of them go to extra innings. Before they're decided, that was a fun Cubs card rivalry series, Cap.
It was awesome. And so every time the Cubs won, they won 2 of the 5, and they were battling. But the two games that we won, as soon as the final out hit, I had the team, text already put together to Dan McLaughlin, the TV voice of the Cardinals, and it was just like 100 laughing emojis, and I hit send. And I get back the old number one salute. You're number one. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, at least we're battling in the division. I wrote, we entered the season with no expectations. You actually think you have a good team. And started laughing again. I drove him insane all weekend long. And it was a fun, fun series. I wore those St. Louis is boring,
yeah.
And St. Louis misery instead of Missouri. T-shirts from Obvious Shirts, who is my favorite shirt company. And I had a good time with it. And that's what the rivalry is supposed to be.
So over to the White Sox, who continue to scuffle back and forth, not finding consistency. You're going up against the Dodgers. Hard to overreact to what we've seen there. Where are you with the White Sox? Is it just it continues to be a season where they just can't get their footing, it feels?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to push back with you, Trent, because, A, that's fun to do. I like pushing back against you. And, B, they took two in a row over Tampa. They took two in a row to take the series in New York against the Yankees. They weren't great against Toronto. They've been playing without Tim Anderson and Eloy Jimenez in a large chunk because of COVID with no Luis Robert. So they've had more than their share of injuries. No Lance Lynn yet. And yet they beat the Dodgers the other night 4-0. Michael Kopech was tremendous. And now they go for the series win today at guaranteed rate. And then things loosen up a little bit. You get the Rangers here. July 4th, they get, I don't know, what is it, 14 straight? Something like that against the Central Division. Mm. Well, they're better than any team talent-wise in that division. And if they're healthy by July 4th, if Tim Anderson's there, and their rotation's going in some order of Giolito, Cease, Kopech, and Lynn, with Cueto as the five, their bullpen's been better. You're telling me that's not the best team in that division? I'll tell you, I think you're wrong.
Mm. You're right, Cap. I'm looking at it right now. They've got seven against the Twins from the 4th until the All-Star break, which is late this year. 17th yeah. of July, the final game before the break. You're right. Cleveland's in there. Detroit's in there. That'll be an interesting spot on the schedule to pay attention to. Cap, Joe Maddon walked the plank in Los Angeles. Not a surprise. They lost 14 straight. I think it was 12 when they finally jettisoned him. Listening to Maddon, totally caught him off guard that they parted ways. I don't think he's done, Cap. As you know, Joe Maddon, does it seem like a guy that would go out like being fired will be his last moment? We remember him as in the dugout as the skipper.
I mean, I know he wants to still manage, is what I was told. I was also told by someone who would know that the GM in Anaheim, who did not hire Joe. I think he came a year after. Was not a Joe guy. And so he looked for the first legitimate opportunity. Joe did not have a contract, I don't believe, beyond this year.
Correct.
I don't believe.
Yep.
And so, all right, we'll eat whatever money. Sunk cost again. It's the Jason Hayward thing. We already got to pay him, though. I have to still let him manage my team. We've lost 12 straight, and he's not my guy. And so Artie Moreno pulled the plug on the Joe Maddon experiment. I mean, I remember when Joe was here, I don't know, a month ago, the Angels at the White Sox, and he was holding court in the dugout, doing radio shows. And he's a great dude, and they were 12 games over. Well, all of a sudden, he blinked, and he's back to .500 with 12 straight losses, and they went, that's it, you're out. So could he get another gig? Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, Tony got one at 77, Joe 68. That wouldn't shock me if he got another one. I don't know why these guys want it. It can't be the money. He's made a ton. It can't be the power. It can't be a power trip. Maybe it's just in their blood. I know if I get to 68, I don't want to live my life out of a suitcase on the road. I don't. I want to keep working always, but I do not want to do the whole live my life on the road doing games every week. No. No shot.
Speaking of living, the Live Tour is happening right now, and they're going to be coming to your backyard coming up here later in the early fall, September 18th. In Chicago, any excitement at all, any buzz at all? And when we get to that point, and I think we'll know even more about this tour, what's the buzz like? I can't even remember what the course is. Something Farms that they're going to be playing at in Chicago?
Rich Harvest Farms, and the guy who owns it is a guy named Jerry Rich. And Jerry invented the stock ticker that goes, you know, around the top.
Really?
Someplace. Oh, yeah. Oh. And so every time you see those symbols going by, he gets like, you know, 1/100th of a cent,
yeah.
And it goes all day, every day, everywhere. And he's a billionaire. And so he was playing golf at Augusta National. And he said to a member there, hey, man, I'd like to join. How do I join? Well, you don't ask to join Augusta. They ask you. And they didn't ask him. So he said, okay, screw you guys. And he built his own course in Sugar Grove, Illinois, beautiful 18 holes, And the cool thing about it is, so I've played it. You can go play hole number two on Wednesday is a par five. Hole number two on Thursday is a par three.
What?
Got tees all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's an amazing course. And each hole is his favorite hole from a famous course.
Isn't that something?
It is a really tough course to play. It's awesome. Manicured, beautiful, and he keeps his $100 million car collection on the ground. It's a really awesome place.
Sounds like a billionaire in Ankeny that has his own course and has his own car collection as well. Cap, great stuff. Thanks for coming on, as always. We will talk with you next week. Thanks, Cap.
I look forward to it. You're the best. Have a good day.
Yep. See you, buddy. Good to talk to you. David Kaplan joining us from Chicago. What a story. So he invented the stock ticker.
Mm-hmm.
God, can you imagine?
Those ideas. You just need one of them to hit. You've had a lot of them.
I've had a lot of them. None have even come close. Centurion Stone of Iowa, they sponsor our weekly conversation with Cappy. We're certainly grateful to that Centurion Stone of Iowa. If you have an outdoor project, an indoor project that requires manufactured natural stone, Centurion Stone of Iowa, check them out online or check out the showroom. You'll be glad you did. CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. We will come back. Circa sponsors Trent's plays of the day. No basketball, one hockey in the Eastern Conference. How big of a favorite? Well, what is the point? What is it? Lightning have to be favored, even though the game is in Madison Square Gardens.
Lightning minus 130.
Yeah, it figures. We will get Trent's play next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.
Oh. Des Moines homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average, so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7, so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happiness.
181.
Most everyone knows that the Grumpy Goat Tavern has great lunches and dinners, but did you know that the Grumpy Goat Tavern also has breakfast? Classics like steak and eggs, the hangover burrito, chorizo, biscuits, and gravy. You can step it up with the shrimp and grits, breakfast fried rice, or hot chicken and waffles. And don't forget the big-ass cinnamon roll. Plus, bottomless Bloody Marys and mimosas. Do brunch at the Grumpy Goat Tavern, Mills Civic in West Des Moines, 50th Street in West Des Moines, and in Ankeny.
It's time for Trent's Pick of the Day. Brought to you by Circa Sports Iowa. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back. Final couple of minutes. I can't get over the Aaron Rodgers dating a witch.
You're just going down that path?
Ah, jeez. Maybe ask her to put a spell on the Rams.
Man.
Anyways, her name is Blue of Earth. That's her real name. Blue of Earth is now, she's changed her name.
Real is a relative term. It's her made-up name.
It's her made-up name.
Yeah.
Blue of Earth, the witch doctor. Anyways, Trent, play of the day. Let's see what you can do. Make some money.
No hockey for me. I am staying away tonight. Don't like the price on Tampa. And if I had to make a play, it'd be the Rangers, but I do not want to put my hard-earned $10 on it. So I'm going to stay away from that one. Three in baseball. We start early in the evening. Give me the Marlins, minus 138. Like the pitching matchup with Rodgers on the mound there. We'll go that route. Boston, again, free square. I'm getting plus 106 against the Angels. I just keep betting against the Angels until it ends. It'll eventually will.
Ohtani starts tonight. Yeah,
he hasn't been very good.
That's
ERA
true.
North of four.
That's very true, Trent.
And I'm laying the 1.5 with the Yankees tonight.
Yanks come back, do they?
Yeah. Dylan Bundy.
Oh, Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. What time is that? 6:40. 7? All right.
You got your night plan.
I do. If you are looking for more local programming, you don't have plans, well, we've got plenty for you. In fact, Murph and Andy are an hour and 5 minutes away. The Fanatics at 3. And then
Joe Stacy, Barnstormer Weekly, tonight at 6 o'clock. We're Miller and Condon, and you hear Trent and I weekdays from 10 to noon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.